Yeah, we'll be in touch.
It's Dave O'Neill here on the debrief, and normally I drive someone home, but we're actually getting driven to the airport on the Gold Coast by the lovely Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hello.
There he is, and I'm with Colin Lane, the comedy legend. He used to be one half of Leno and Woodley, now he's just Colin Lane.
Now I'm a third.
And we did a gig last night for Total Tools.
Total Tools.
Which are, I mean, I'd seen their shops, but as the guy pointed out, you would never have been into one because you're not a tradie. So apparently it's just for tradies.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's not for you or me.
So they don't even use that as an advertising line, go where the tradies go.
Because, oh, maybe they should.
Because I think that's what Home Hardware does. Go where the tradies go, because if you think that that's where the tradies go,
then it's good.
Then it's good.
Yeah,
but
it's good.
Total Tools don't even care about people like us.
No, but I care.
I mean, they care. They're caring people, but they don't really care about people like us as far as the bottom line is concerned.
Well, Chris, our driver, is a handyman, and he said that they have the good tools. Is that correct?
They do.
There we go. Whereas Bunnings have cheaper sort of tools.
Oh, do they?
More handyman. I learned a bit about tools.
Bunnings probably have the tools made in China.
I think they do.
Yes.
I think they do.
Whereas Total Tools might have a bit more of your Sid Crone.
I reckon they have. Or your
Stanley.
I remember going to the Stanley factory as a kid.
Why?
It was in Nunawading, and we'd go there on an excursion to the screwdriver factory. That's where I learned I never wanted to work in a factory.
It's like Bart Simpson getting depressed because he had to go to the cardboard factory for an excursion.
The Stanley factory was so loud and so noisy. And because my dad came along because he was a fitter and turner, and he loved factories.
So he came on the school excursion.
And you know what? I'm pretty sure it was a scout excursion now that I think about it, because he was a scout leader.
Your dad didn't teach, did he?
He was
at Mitcham High?
No, he was a trades teacher at TAFE.
Oh, okay.
So if you would have done a fitting and turning apprenticeship, I still meet guys that go, I had your dad as a...
Really?
Not your dad, my dad. Yeah. What did your dad do?
Sold tyres.
Wow.
Sold tyres for Goodyear.
So those guys that we performed for last night wouldn't be a million miles away from what your dad used to do, because they're all. Did he own a franchise, your dad?
No, he. Well, I was brought up in Perth, and Dad used to sell tyres to all the mining companies in Mount Tom Price and Northam, and you know, up in the mining territories of Western Australia, and then came over to Sydney. Was transferred to Sydney. And I don't really know what he did in Sydney, but it was behind a desk most of the time.
Have you ever read The Shark Net, the book by the Australian author? It's set in Perth, and his dad sells tyres.
Really?
Yeah, he works for Goodyear, I think. And it's,
really?
Yeah.
Because my dad wrote it. He wrote Shark Net.
Yeah, it was made into a... It's a great book.
You see, I don't know whether I should go back to this, but... I was halfway through telling you about what my father was doing in Sydney, and I thought that you were so bored. You just went, have you read Sharknet? It's got nothing to do with tyres or Perth, but
just
it's a really good story.
Yeah, you must have been thought, where's he going
with
this?
What an asshole.
I have been accused of doing that before, don't worry. Are you listening to me? That's what my partner says all the time. Yeah, I do take everything in.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Well, most of the time.
Dad, and then now that my dad is getting on a bit, I talk to him a bit about old times and
old tyres.
Old tyres. Hey, get out of here. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
About the manner in which business was done in those days, in the 70s and early 80s, yeah. Where you would be encouraged to take clients out
to drink, yeah.
But at lunchtime.
Oh, wow.
And,
yeah.
so you'd go out and have a meeting, and he would be chastised from management because he wasn't going to the pub enough.
Yeah, right, that's interesting.
To nurture business relationships and even to look after his guys.
Oh.
You know, so he'd go out and have two or three ponies at lunch.
Oh, pony,
and
yep.
Then come back and just be a little bit half-shickered and just go, what am I doing? This is
bizarre. Yeah, but then he'd be
bizarre.
Chastised for not drinking enough.
Yeah, that's right. So, but back in those days, there were no, you know,
booze buses. No,
so you could have a couple at lunch and then you could have a couple after work and then you could drive home.
My mate in the 80s used to carry a... a copy of the...
Sharknet.
No, a copy of the Red Cross Murray Marathon, which is a charity event, minutes on his passenger seat. So when he got pulled over for drink driving, he goes, look, I've just come from a charity event.
You're joking.
He used to work every time. All right, mate. One guy actually said, just drive straight home. Please don't hit anything.
Did he ever partake in the Red Cross charity event?
Yeah, once or twice.
Is that still on? Because
that was big, wasn't it?
It was huge. Yeah, it was like 80s. Sydney to Hobart yacht race.
Yes, and then the Murray Marathon.
Talk about the Murray Marathon for days and days.
Yes, you're right. We used to go on it in scouts, and then we went on as volunteers for the Red Cross. And in fact, that's how I got a job at the Red Cross after I left uni. And then my twin brother, who used to go on the marathon, got a job at the Red Cross, and he eventually became an ICRC delegate, an International Red Cross delegate, and ended up going to Rwanda.
ICRC.
The ICRC, is it called? The ICRC.
And
he still lives in Switzerland and works for the Red Cross.
So,
yeah, Glenn, my brother, yeah.
So did you ever get to, it sounds like Cubs and Scouts was an integral part of your childhood.
Yes.
Did you ever become a venturer?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, and a rover.
How daggy.
I know.
Is rover after venturer?
Yeah, rover's 18 to 26.
And what's after rover?
No, scout
prison,
leader.
Prison.
Yeah. Court case. Yeah, you know what? That's funny because when I did radio with one Dave Hughes, when there was ever a lull, he'd go, tell us again how old you were when you left Scouts. And I'd say, 25, and he'd just piss himself.
Fair dinkum. But so you were in it from what, 7 or 8?
Yeah, but Dad was...
Who's interviewing who?
Yeah. Dad was a scout leader. But also...
Venturer and then rover.
Yeah, I love Venturers because Venturers was when girls joined.
Ah.
And so that's how I made it for my first patch. It was adventurous. So
at 25.
Venturous is 15 to 18. And
right.
So
I was in Cubs in Perth.
And then you didn't follow it through.
I think I went to Cubs for a couple of years in French's Forest in Sydney.
Yeah, French's Forest.
And
yeah, North Shore.
Nice. Lovely. Unusual. Different. But it didn't take. Didn't
no.
really like. Didn't.
Well,
it's hard. You know, you're from Perth. You're from a different city, and it's like going to a new school. You know, you go into a new pack.
Yeah,
in the Cubs.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I didn't like it.
But I was in it for 28 years.
My dad made me, and then once you get into it, it's like a cult. You can't leave. And then I joined the gang.
No Scientology.
I joined the gang show. Like, which is the theatre
really?
Show. Yeah, the theatre show.
And that's how you got into performing?
Yeah, well, yep, pretty much.
And you used to do stand-up at the gang show doing scout jokes. How about that car key?
What about that? Oh, no, we just
wore... Dib, dib, dob, dob.
We just wore leotards and ran on stage. And you know who? Kenny was also in the gang show when I was in it, Shane.
Ooh.
Shane was a bit younger than me, so...
Down at the Palais?
Yeah, we did the Palais.
Yeah. With the little spots of tape on the stage so you'd all stand in a line?
Yes.
In a straight line.
You sure you weren't in the gang show?
It's glorified calisthenics.
Yeah, oh, it is. Again, though, it was good because there was a lot of girls in the gang show, and I was like 16, 17.
Ah.
Yeah.
Gang.
No.
I do want to go there.
That's where I met my first serious girlfriend, was in the gang show. Oh, good memories.
Was that a yearly event?
Yeah. They still do it.
You do 3 or 4 shows.
Yeah.
At Christmas or something?
Yeah, you got you. I'm pretty sure.
I know stuff.
How do you know so much about the gang show?
Well, I've been around. I'm 52, for goodness sake.
I'm 52 as well.
You can't be. I'm the only person that's 52. You can't be 52 as well.
Were you born in 65?
I was.
Wow. What month?
March.
I'm May. You're older than me.
Oh.
You always seem older than me. Maybe because...
Chris the driver's shaking his head going, no.
What do you mean saying no for?
You both look 42.
We both look 42.
Oh, get out of town.
Yeah, we've never worked hard in our lives being comedians. That's why.
Did you ever have last night I had to work from 7:30 till 10.
That's hard.
And today I'm flying home and I'm doing nothing.
Well,
I'm sitting in the back of a nice car driving to the airport. Sunny outside.
Oh, it's beautiful on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I went for a walk.
Queensland, beautiful one day. Although we're in New South Wales, aren't we?
Are we
New South Wales, Chris, or Queensland?
No, we're Queensland.
Queensland at the moment. We're 10 minutes and we'll be in
New South Wales.
You know, I'm trying to remember when I first met you, and I think I've nailed it, because when I first met my partner...
When we first patched at Adventurers. I was your first patch.
That was you. You're transgendered. When I first met my partner, Kieran, she was a big Found Objects fan.
Oh, yes.
And so she used to go...
Why wouldn't she be?
And when I was just starting comedy when I met her, and she's like, oh, me and my friends go to the Prince Pat and watch this group, The Found Objects. And I'm like, I'm more Melody Lords. Remember the Melody Lords?
Yep,
which
absolutely.
Was a 70s parody band. And she's like, and so she took me along to see The Found Objects, and I was, yeah, I thought you guys were great. Punt Road.
That's well, we were on before the Melody Lords a couple of times.
I went to one of those.
And it was just freaking ridiculous because the audience was just, we were doing, you know,
little songs.
Little
funny songs.
Whimsical ditties. And they were just going, Lords, Lords.
It's like supporting
Lords.
Midnight Oil.
That's they
like,
just wanted Melody Lords to come on because they kind of crossed the line from piss take to just serious kind of
they did, didn't
adored
they? Rock
kind
stars.
Of rock stars in yeah. a way. And they were. They came out and they freaking belted it. And so doing Found Objects, which was the trio that I used to be
yes.
in, and then Melody Lords, it was a little bit ridiculous. Although sometimes we used to support the Doug Anthony All-Stars as well.
Oh, that'd be
and most of the people were just going, All-Stars, 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 wanting them to come on and be violent towards them.
You used to see that when, I remember seeing Red Gum support Midnight Oil. And it's just like, Oils. And Peter Garrett actually came out during Red Gum said, guys, come on. Everyone's like, oh. Then they went to a frenzy. Oils. And the guy from Red Gum goes, nah, don't worry about Pete. Just let us do our Bush tunes and you can get on with it.
I think I went to the, what's that hotel in Kew? The
Prospect Hotel.
Prospect Hill Hotel.
Yep.
And
yep.
there was a band on, I think it was Goanna. Oh, no, it was bloody Machinations.
Oh, you've got no C in it. She don't, no, don't. They're playing tomorrow night at the Croxton Park Hotel.
No.
Yeah, with the models. Yep. Freddie was the lead singer, yeah. You've got no C in it. Anyway, go on.
First of all, apparently, according to my good friend and music nerd, Brian Nankervis.
But he's an expert on the 80s. He's
just an expert on music.
Yeah, but not the. I don't think he know the 80s that well.
I think he was probably listening more to Bob Dylan.
I think
in the
he 80s. Was.
Yeah,
because when I talked to him about New Wave, yeah. Because he goes to me.
Or My Sex.
He goes to me. We had one of your mates on Rock Quiz the other night. We had the guy from Wah Wah Knee.
I saw that on Music Max last night on the Foxtel in the
Sugar
hotel
free?
Room.
Yeah, Sugar Free.
I'm not sure what it was called.
So anyway,
it's called. They're not called The Models. They're called Models.
That's true.
There's no the.
No, that's true.
And also, I went to see The Machinations at the Prospect Hill Hotel, and there was a rumor on commercial radio that the Oils were going to do a show them. And so, not only were people yelling out Oils while they were on, the Oils never turned up.
Don't you love it? The Oils were
back in the day.
That big cult band. But then I didn't meet you at the Prince Pat, but me and a guy, Vic Plume,
yes,
used to do comedy with, we drove up to Sydney to be part of the Comedy Sale pilot, which was a short-lived show you guys were in.
Goodness. I think still holds the record for most short-lived comedy show in Australian
how many episodes?
TV history. Or maybe even most short-lived show, although I think Holiday Island may have only lasted. Arcade may have only... See, Frank always points out that Arcade was Monday to Friday, and so there were 5 episodes of Arcade before it was cancelled, whereas Comedy Sale was on once a week on a Sunday and only lasted 3 Sundays.
Well, no, I can
Although,
do...
hang on, Let Loose Live.
I know Let Loose Live has come
was
up on this...
2 weeks?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks. That's come up on this podcast before.
I'm the kiss of death. With comedy shows on the telly.
Oh, were you in Let Loose Live?
Yeah.
Yeah,
thanks,
right.
Thanks for remembering.
Well, it's probably good that we don't
listening
remember.
To me.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. That's the guy in the fruit shop set. I saw your show. Was it like a one-off special?
Yes, it was. It was.
Oh, yeah, good times.
Did you drive to see... Was Vic playing that?
Well, no. What happened was that we met this guy called Ray. Now, I don't know. He was one of the writers.
Ray Bosley.
That's him, Ray Bosley.
Yeah, because we wanted to call the show the Ray Bosley Show.
That's right.
And, of course, Channel 7 just went, what? And we thought, no, it's kooky. It's funny.
It's funny.
And they went, nah. Let's call it a comedy sale and set it in a shopping centre.
He loved me and Vic. And I remember going around to his house to audition. So he was obviously just auditioning people that he liked
you
or whatever.
You were in the pilot for Comedy Sale?
No, we weren't in the pilot.
Oh.
He said, come up to Sydney. You have to make your own way up.
That's different from driving to South Melbourne for an audition.
And so we drove up there and we went to where you guys were filming. There was you guys. I remember talking to you and we're talking to Akmal was there and Ray came over the camera and he goes, And the director goes, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just filming these guys over here. And we filmed a couple of sketches.
Right.
But never saw the light of day.
Was that at that with John Thompson, the director?
No, he. I think he was the guy saying to Ray, what are you doing?
Oh, right. Right, right.
Because I remember talking to all you three guys from Found Objects. And
Umbilical Brothers.
That's right.
Stephen Abbott, Mikey Robbins.
It was a good lineup.
Robin Butler.
Ross Daniels.
Ross Daniels.
Yeah.
Jeanette Cronin. Celia
Piccola. No, she wasn't around. No,
she wasn't even born. No. Celia De Berg. She's very good actress in a lot of TV shows.
And we were telling.
That's her name.
Oh, really? I don't know her.
Can you have a look at that before you release this podcast?
Was she in the Sharknet, maybe? William McGinnis was in the Sharknet. Now I'm getting memories flashing back. He played the dad that worked for Goodyear Tires.
And he was in a sketch on
Let Loose Live. It comes back in a circle. Oh God, memories.
Me.
Yeah,
memories.
No thanks.
Memories.
No thanks.
Comedy Sale, Let Loose Live.
Oh, no thanks. But then again, then you went on to do Lano and Woodley, which was a great series. I still maintain that first episode where that plane crashes in through the window, your first episode of Lano and Woodley,
yes.
Which was directed by Bob Sargent, is that right?
Bob Sargent.
Was it Bob Sargent? He sold tyres, I can't remember his name.
Bob Spears.
Bob Spears, who was apparently a legendary director.
Apparently, not apparently, he was.
He was.
He only directed
Didn't he do
Absolutely Fabulous, Dad's Army, Fawlty Towers, The Goodies.
Oh, wow.
Are You Being Served?
I'm free.
Just before he directed our show, he was in Los Angeles directing That Darn Cat for Disney. And then after our show, he went back to LA to direct. No, he went back to London to make the Spice movie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Did he get involved a lot with the scripts or what did he do? I remember asking you guys years ago and he basically just sort of. Did he do a lot?
Well, how long have you got? Bob Spears, legendary director. He came over and directed two episodes and it was organised by Working Title, the London production company.
Who put money into
the TV series co-production with the ABC in Australia. And so they knew him. They thought that it would be fantastic. He knows what he's doing. He's a legend. He's very meticulous. But at the same time, he, as an experienced director who'd been directing for 30 years, knew that Frank and I knew what we were doing.
Yeah, and a lot of that first episode was your live show too, wasn't it?
That's right, that's right. Yeah, so with all the jokes worked and we knew that the story was sound and so he came over and just recognised that we'd been together for 15 years and he just went, you do what you do and I'll just shoot it and make it look as great as possible.
Like a facilitator, kind of.
And so he would come to rehearsals and we'd do a blocking session of just working out where we're going to move and all that kind of stuff. And then he wouldn't write anything down. He'd just go home, write all the camera shots down, and then come and shoot it. And it was so smooth. But he was very committed to the project. But at the same time, I remember one distinct location shoot day where I think that he yelled cut as he was getting into a taxi.
How old was he then, Bob? He was probably 60s?
Mid to late 50s.
Oh,
but so loved the Durries.
So he said, yeah,
loved
right.
the Durries.
Right.
And unfortunately, he's not around anymore.
Ah.
But he came over, he had a new girlfriend, a new baby. And so it was one of those, why don't you come to Australia for 4 weeks, direct these guys, they know what they're doing, you can have a great time in Melbourne, you'll eat at nice restaurants.
That was a great series, Lana. Well, I loved it.
Well, it's 20 years ago.
I know. You put it on Twitter.
In the last week.
I know. When that plane came through that window, you've got to watch, everyone listen, you've got to watch the first episode. Because I wasn't expecting it at all. It's a callback.
It's a callback, as they say, yes. As the young comedians like to say so much these days. So it's 20 years since Princess Diana died, which also coincides with 20 years
of
since Lano and Woodley was on air because our first episode went to air a day after Princess Diana died.
God. And what... It was almost though they didn't know what to do with Lana. Well, they didn't. They know what to. They would know what to do with it now. But back then, wasn't there? Didn't they think it was a kid's show?
Oh, David, it still makes my skin crawl. Yeah. To tell you the truth, there was a particular gentleman who will ever be imprinted on my brain, who I won't mention because I don't know what he's doing. But he thought after the first series did very well, because Monday night used to be on, what's Chris saying?
5 minutes.
Five minutes to go.
All right, cool.
Although that's not 5 minutes to the airport. He's just going 5 minutes.
For your podcast.
For your podcast, because he's a driver, stage manager. but he did it really well. He didn't say anything.
He just put his hand up. And so he decided to put it on. Because they put it on at 6:30, didn't they?
Frickin' 30 on a Saturday night, thinking that that's when all the kids would be watching TV.
What an idiot.
And what a fucking idiot.
Because the first series was like 7:30 or 8:30 on a Tuesday or something.
Well, Monday night used to be ABC Comedy Night.
That's right, it did.
So now it's Wednesday, but back in those days, Frontline was on a Monday at 8. Lane and Woodley.
McFeast. Where she interviewed Chopper. But also she did that really good show, which was set in Canberra, where she interviewed politicians. I love that show. Mikey Robbins was on it too.
She was the 80s Annabelle Crabb.
She was.
Yeah. She was ahead of her time.
Very true.
So, yes.
That's what happened.
20 years. Princess Di, and then that's the thing, you know, ABC, I think I've probably just started getting over it 20 years later. That I love the ABC. I think it's an amazing institution and an integral part of Australia's consciousness. Yeah. But I still can't believe that...
What they did. Yeah.
And I'm just starting to get over it now, because Working Title, London, international, you know, made films, made Mr. Bean, made
George Harrison's
Blackadder.
Yeah.
They just loved... comedy, and they wanted to make a third series, and the ABC went, nah.
See, that wouldn't happen these days. Any whiff of international money, and they're there. They are there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, it was late 90s.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they even did kind of outside, you know, production.
No, not a lot. No, it was
all
internal.
Or co-pros or that kind of stuff, really. So
you guys were pioneers.
We were the Burke and Wills of comedy. Oh, no, they were explorers. They weren't pioneers.
You've moved on. I was looking up QI the other day, and you've been on 6 times.
Six, is it?
Yeah, it said 6 on the internet.
Well, yes, I mean...
Who did you beat? You beat Alan Davies in the Perrier, the Edinburgh Award, didn't you?
In 1994, Alan Davies was a nominee. Jeff Green, Alan Davies, the guy with the glasses, big white collar.
He's funny, yeah. I know you mean.
Hill.
Hill.
Robert Schimmel, an American guy. Owen O'Neill, a very charming Irish comedian. Anyway, I've known Alan Davies for many, many years, and then QI did an Australian tour in theatres.
Yes.
With Stephen Fry, Alan, and then they got 3 Australian acts to be on the panel.
Yeah, I talked to Cal Wilson about it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And...
That we don't want to hear your story.
she's read Sharknet too.
but is it true that when Alan Davies stays at your house, you put the Perrier Award next to his bed?
Absolutely, yeah, just to shit
rub it in.
Just to shit him. Although he's, you know, an international superstar.
Oh,
so
my God. I love Jonathan Creek.
He's
Jonathan
doing
Creek.
Very well. Yeah, he's doing sitcoms and movies. And he's extremely well-loved. In the UK especially, and when he comes out to Australia and New Zealand, he just, you know, sells out huge venues. So
hugely
talented. And
But
look, they are such nice people, and I fly over there once a year and do 1 or 2 episodes and have 4 or 5 days in London.
Fantastic.
And it's great. And it's
like us coming to the Gold Coast to do Total Tools conference.
What a lovely bookending effort that was, Dave. QI is just great. And I'm sitting there and I'm just going, I can't believe I'm here. But look, It's terrific.
What, it's, here on the Gold Coast or on QI?
I can't believe that I'm in the back of a car with Dave O'Neill. Rovers, Venturers, Scouts, Cubs, comedy superstar. He's done it all.
I'm about as big as Stephen Fry.
All Red right, Cross. We'll be, but you've got a better fashion sense.
We'll be back. Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app, and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. And Homey, they're a Melbourne-based social enterprise creating pathways out of homelessness. Do you know at the moment there's about 100,000 Australians live without a permanent address? And of those, 20,000 people sleep on the streets or in a makeshift shelter. Why not change this? Come on. Go to www.homey.com.au. Okay, back to the program. We're back on The Debrief, and Colin, I've got some questions to ask before we get to the airport quickly.
Oh.
These are The Debrief questions. What went well and why?
Last night?
Yeah, with the gig.
I think it's probably the first time I've dropped the F-bomb at a corporate gig.
Yeah, but they didn't care, did they?
It went quite well.
I said the F-bomb a lot.
You did.
Yeah.
You did. I think you said it 38 times. Not that I was counting.
Do you think I went overboard?
No.
I was very tired.
No. Look.
No, Chris has given the
What's he doing? Too many.
Yeah, too many.
Or just not that interesting, that conversation.
What didn't go
Look,
well?
Look, when I hear that there's 250 people there and 238 of them are going to be men,
yes,
that sends shivers down the spine of a comedian doing a corporate gig.
Yeah.
But they were fantastic.
They were good.
They were lovely. They were up for it. And all the people that ran the company, not sucking up their bums, but all the people that ran the company were very nice guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why they're doing so well. Total tools, get amongst them.
Chris picked them up and he said, you can tell how they behave in the car if they're good guys. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, they were beautiful people. Just their general nature.
Yeah.
Beautiful people.
He had a bank last week and they weren't. Oh, we don't have to name the bank.
Oh, we can't.
Oh. We can't name the bank. Oh, really?
So
oh,
what,
I see.
What didn't go well and why?
Always the first 5 minutes is a little bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I reckon.
They're sitting there going, hang on, who's this guy?
Yeah.
I think I've seen him. Is he on Ready, Steady, Cook, or is he the guy from The Wiggles? You know, it's all, everybody's kind of going, what's going on here? So that was a little bit nerve-wracking. And
how can we do better next time? You can't. Here we're at the airport.
Just have a little chat to yourself before you go on and just go, relax, man.
Yeah.
You've done this 1,000 times. But in some ways, you know, Limo, my good friend,
yes.
You know, when he comes back from a corporate, his wife says, how did it go? And he goes, it was fine.
Yeah. Well, Hughes,
I reckon this was a little bit better than fine.
I reckon it was. And you know what? Hughes always goes, mate, lay your expectations in a corporate.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to go at the airport. We can play a song now. Why don't we play some Machinations? Let's play some Machinations.
Absolutely.
You've got no C.
Oh, no, that's Pseudo
Echo. Pseudo
Echo,
man. Don't get the new wave bands. The Machinations were a lot cooler than Pseudo Echo. Anyway.
Was it the Machinations or just Machinations?
I don't know about that. I think it's the Machinations. Anyway, you've got no C in it. Colin Lane, thanks for being on my podcast.
Hey, lovely to be part of my first ever podcast.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
You should do more of them. You're very good.
Oh, thanks, David. Very you say good. That to all the girls.
No, not all of them.
Don't
and
you?
Chris, you weren't too bad either. Thank you, Chris.
What could you have done better in this podcast?
Thought of talk less about myself, maybe.
Sharknet.
Sharknet. Talk about Sharknet more. All right. Here
all
we
right.
Go.
Thanks, Dave. We're
Bye.
At Virgin at Gold Coast.
Oh,
no.
Living the high life.
Oh, yeah.
Do they fly you first class to QI or...?
Business
class?
No.
No, well, that's all right. I'd get on economy to go on QI.
Absolutely.
Why
I'm,
wouldn't
I'm
you?
I'm quite happy to be on UK TV.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And I'll stay at Alan's house.
Fantastic.
In Hampstead.
In the windmill or?
Mind.
No.
And we have to solve crimes while I'm there.
Come on, Colin, got a crime. He's very good at it on that show, Jonathan Creek. Oh,
yeah,
he is. The Goldie. All right.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks, bye.